720 WGN, John Hanson here, host of Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. It's 4:23 near sunset time here on this Saturday afternoon. Hope you're having a great day. I'm so excited to talk to family law attorney Gemma Allen from Allen and Glassman. How are you doing, Gemma?
I'm doing really well.
I love that name, Gemma.
Thank you. It's Italian.
Yeah, you were telling me, though, it's popular in England these days,
well,
though.
Well, it's very popular in England, and there's a gorgeous Asian actress named Gemma, and there's also a lot of people in Norway named Gemma.
Okay.
So go figure.
Go figure. I'm a little Norwegian, so there we go.
Well, maybe you'll have a child named Gemma.
There you go. Let's talk a little bit just basically about divorces in terms of money, any financial situation. I know we've heard that a lot, that money causes so many issues in relationships. Is that still the case? Is that the number one thing?
100% still true. It causes more problems than sex, and that's hard to believe, and we talk more freely about sex than we talk about money.
You're right. I think that we've opened up about sex, and we can have conversations about what's going on in relationships. Why can't we do that with money?
You know what? I've decided it's because it's so loaded. It's a loaded topic. It comes from your childhood. Does money mean power to you, control, freedom, fear? What does it mean? And so it's such a loaded topic. And then there's a lot of shame involved.
Mm-hmm.
Do I make enough? Do I make too much? Am I too showy? Do I not have the latest status symbols? And then in a marriage, there's so much about what's the role of each party. And now that you have two-party earners,
mm-hmm.
so mostly everybody's working in
right.
a wonderful world.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have two-party earners, who should be doing what? Who should be supplying what? How do we handle it? What if there's unequal earnings? And the not discussing it is what leads to resentment and, night terrors about money for the person who doesn't understand it. And a lot of divorce. Sometimes when people come into our office, John, you won't believe it. You have to fill out a financial affidavit. Sometimes that's the first time, and I'm talking about even the breadwinner, that they have ever been that analytical about their income, their outflow, and their assets.
Meaning they haven't ever made a budget.
Never.
They never really analyze what's coming in.
Never.
And they're the ones that are maybe making the money, too.
Exactly. And they're the ones saying you're spending too much or you're spending too little, but no one's ever really been analytical about it.
Do you find that often partners and spouses have no idea maybe how much the other person makes, how much they really spend?
I know you won't believe it, but it's true. People don't. How can you live with somebody and not know what they're earning when you have to keep the whole ship afloat, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is such a loaded topic. And the other thing is it's even more loaded among women. So I say that when guys are in locker rooms talking about, interest rates and investments and lending each other money, which
mm-hmm.
guys do,
yep.
women are in locker rooms talking about feelings and emotions because that's what we do.
Generally speaking.
Generally. No, and I'm a woman. Believe me, I'm
right.
the last one to ever knock the
no.
the wonderful sex.
Right.
But what I'm guilting it's, myself, too.
Yeah.
I'm actually saying me, too, because I don't talk about it with my girlfriends. We don't lend each other money. I don't know what my friends make. They don't know what I make. It's a very interesting sort of social wall.
Yeah.
We don't cross it.
I don't get it. But again, I've only been married for a few years, so I'm sure there's some other people that have been married a lot longer who say, no, this happens. Is it something that happens over time where maybe they were open with each other at the beginning, but as dynamics change, it changes? Or do you normally find that couples that never started talking about money never start talking about money?
I think you're right on the latter. If you never start, it's harder to open that dialogue. I think there are ways to do it, and there are lots of, I see that you're going to have a new program talking about that issue.
Yeah.
I think there are ways to open the dialogue, but people have to make that commitment. We're going to do it. It's going to be hard. It's kind of like, getting naked, but you're getting naked financially.
Right.
It's financial intimacy, and I swear it matters as much as any other form.
When it comes to the unfortunate reality, and I say unfortunate, even though nowadays, of course, for many people, divorce is freedom, right? It's an opportunity for a new start, and that's great for them. Okay. So when it comes to that moment, do you find that there are couples that don't even know what accounts there are?
Absolutely.
Like, my husband had an E-Trade account with $400,000 and I've never heard of.
I've had people shocked to find out what they did have and shocked to find out what they did not have, because so many people live so far above their means that the one who's not in charge of the budget is under a lot of illusions about how wonderful it must be. Then I've had other people shocked to find out they were living so small,
mm-hmm.
and they actually had a lot of money. Now, that's not necessarily bad news in a divorce.
Right.
Because at least you get to divide more money.
Right.
But it shouldn't be that way. Someone shouldn't have been living so hand to mouth,
mm-hmm.
you know, when in fact there was a lot of money being assembled somewhere and they didn't know about it.
That's the revenue side. Secret credit cards, too, stuff like that.
Well, and cryptocurrency. I mean, that's our new thing. But the truth is, secret credit cards outflow discretionary spending. Every one of us has a secret discretionary spending that we don't want anyone else to know about.
And that may not be the worst thing. A little bit, right?
A little bit.
Everyone should have control a little bit of their own stuff.
I agree.
We have separate checking, joint savings. I think that's my own talk. That's how we do it. But other people can do it their own way.
There's one other thought on that.
No?
Separate checking, but one joint housekeeping account.
Yes. So for the general things around
yes.
the house. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
I
helps.
Think that's kind of how we do that. Or,
yeah,
hey, I'm going to get this.
Puts in a certain amount. And you look at it on a month-to-month basis and say, oh, property tax, you know, so we're going to be a bigger contributor this month. But, yes, separate savings. And, yes, I think we all need a little privacy. And you don't want to admit, you know, that package from wherever,
mm-hmm.
whether it's tech or cosmetics or clothes. We all have it, and we deserve it.
Right.
So
we're going to take a break for the news. You teased up cryptocurrency. That's what we're going to spend the bulk of our time talking about, because it is really fascinating. First of all, you explain cryptocurrency better than anyone else I've ever had on the show talk about it, but also how we go from there and how that gets allocated and all that sort of stuff. If someone is running out of the car and they're just like, I love Gemma, I need to talk to her about my situations, how can people reach you?
The firm name is Allen & Glassman Chartered. Our number is 312-853-3000. And I thank you for that.
312-853-3000.
Correct. And we have a website, Allen & Glassman Chartered. And it's my name, Gemma Allen, at AllenAndGlassmanChartered.com for the email. So
all right.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to keep on talking after the news here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association at 438. Continuing our conversation with the wonderful Gemma Allen from Allen & Glassman Chartered, 312-853-3000. Gemma, let's talk cryptocurrency and its role in divorces. And I think that this was probably, I guess, expected, right? As cryptocurrency grew in popularity. Is it the secret nature of it? Or I guess maybe secret's not the right word. Maybe it is. The idea that it's anonymous, so that's a little bit more secure, has led to people stashing it away, hiding it from their spouses. And then that's going to come up in divorces.
Well, we hope it comes up in divorces, but the private anonymous notion of it means that sometimes that's a chase that we have to do as lawyers.
Okay.
Because the whole notion is that it's private.
Right.
And I always say, if you're lucky enough that your spouse is talking about cryptocurrency and maybe even involving you in the decisions, at least if the marriage goes astray, you have that information.
Right.
But for many people who have been involved in divorce planning, they may not have ever mentioned the cryptocurrency. So we are very much challenged as attorneys in those cases, because hidden assets in the first place
are tough already.
Oh my gosh, they're already our nemesis.
Right.
And so then you talk about the most hidden of the hidden assets, unhideable, designed to be private and anonymous, and we are legally challenged, but we're rising to it.
Is it because there's no paper trail, or it's easy to kind of, funnel the money in a different way that's not trackable? Is that what makes it difficult to find?
I think it's difficult to find. What you do find is there's a paper trail for everything, sort of. So one of the things we do, first of all, is now in all cases, ask the question.
Yeah.
And at least if someone has an answer truthfully, you've got a fraud basis later on.
Oh, so you ask them under like in a deposition.
Ask them at a deposition.
Okay.
Ask them in a written plea, in an interrogatory where they have to answer under oath.
Hopefully that scares them enough to answer truthfully.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
But guess what? The IRS now is asking. So since 2019, on your 1040, just below where you identify yourself, is actually a demand for the answer to the question about have you traded and acquired, et cetera, cryptocurrency. And so there is an opening there for a lawyer who's looking for cryptocurrency. Also, however, none of us are naive enough to believe that everyone's answering that question truthfully.
People lie to the IRS, Gemma.
Oh,
I never.
My gosh, I know. Well, you know what the IRS did was they sent out 10,000 subpoenas to the most famous of the crypto exchanges, John Doe subpoenas. And when they got the answers, because if you're talking about an exchange in cryptocurrency, they're sort of like a Schwab. They are somewhat responsive and often very responsive to subpoenas.
Mm-hmm.
And so they answered, of course, to the IRS, because they will answer the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the IRS sent out a lot of letters to people saying, you might want to rethink your last year's tax return, because we have information that you may have. And I think they gave people the opportunity to amend.
Right.
That won't go on forever, though.
I was going to say, they're not going to give that many freebies.
No.
They don't do that for many other things, do they?
No.
Like, hey, you might have missed a zero right over here. Oh, there you go.
Right. There's not a lot of that softness
mm-hmm.
in the IRS. But you know what? It's complicated for the IRS, too.
100%.
So.
And we couldn't even pass a bill giving them more authority or more money to be able to dive into these sorts of things deeper. So do people need to make sure to hire you or someone from your firm or someone that knows this stuff, because the wrong lawyer that you're having, let alone doing it on your own, they may not know where to look.
Well, of course, I'd like to say yes, and my partner wants me to say yes, but the...
I'll say yes for you,
thank
Gemma.
Thank you, John. Uh-huh. The other truth, though, is that if someone is really good at what they're doing, and there are other good attorneys, although I'd like to say we're the best,
mm-hmm.
and we're actually really more involved in this than a lot of firms.
Right.
There had to be an infusion of capital somewhere to buy the first cryptocurrency.
Okay.
And so when you're doing some forensic work, you may find an ATM transfer or a bank transfer out.
Right.
Where you can't find where it went to.
Right. They didn't find it under the mattress, in
Ooh.
Theory. And if
Ooh.
They did, the wife may know that she's sleeping on top of it. There had to be, at some point, money going out to get this.
And there had to be money in. And generally speaking, the exchanges particularly won't allow you to send cash
mm-hmm.
in.
Right.
So you're going to have to be doing a financial transaction of some kind. The point, though, is interesting. You could have been dealing in crypto a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And generally in divorce, we only look back maybe 3 years, maybe five if the case warrants it. But there's a cost-benefit analysis you have to do in your own head about what am I going to find versus what is the looking going to cost the client.
Interesting.
So it's an interesting question. But generally you can find that on-ramp, and that's something. The IRS is helping us, and starting in 2023, there are going to be even more severe and more reporting requirements by corporations and by the exchanges. So I think that you're going to see something that is maybe a little bit more helpful.
Okay.
And it might start even earlier than 2023.
Okay.
So
I'm pretty naive to divorce, which I guess is a good thing, right? And I
yes.
hope to be naive forever. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
And I wish that for you.
Yeah, thank you. How much power, I mean, as an attorney representing one party, how much power do you have to go after financial records? Do you have pretty much carte blanche, the authority of the judicial system to dive into anything, whether it's working with the IRS, working with financial bank institutions? Do they have to report everything to you if you go and seek it out?
Well, the answer is we have broad powers,
okay.
number one. But I would say for very pragmatic reasons, we rarely would go to the IRS.
Okay.
We can go to returns, and we can go to the corporate returns, personal returns, do some forensic
get
work.
Some documentation.
Correct. But often, the IRS is a threat sometimes one spouse will use against the other, but that's not smart.
Right.
Because, in fact, if the marriage has a problem
mm-hmm.
with the IRS, you both suffer because it's a marital debt if you filed a joint return. So we don't really recommend any kind of leverage or threatening or use of the IRS,
mm-hmm.
but the clues can come from the returns.
Right.
And we have the ability to get the returns. We have the ability to get bank records, credit card statements. If there was a business, the corporate perks and benefits, because people have very complicated compensation.
100%.
And now that will be another complication with cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Because some people are starting to take their income in cryptocurrency or portions thereof, especially younger guys like you.
Oh, I'm not in that world. Don't worry. I think they're younger than me, Gemma.
Well,
but I see what you're saying, right? That's
yes.
that's the flashy thing. We hear of sports stars trying to take money in cryptocurrency now. Yeah.
Well, there are many, and there are many of the teams that are now offering it. I think Mark Cuban, for one.
Yeah.
I think the
it's
Sacramento
the hip
Kings.
New thing.
Yeah, and they say, hey, you can, I don't care if you're management, athlete, coach, you can take your income in that. And I saw that one of the leading firms in the city on employment compensation has also talked about now they're having to do a division on cryptocurrency pay because income is taxed on cryptocurrency at the value it came in your door.
But
guess what? I mean, just look at Friday.
Yeah. The value crashes.
The value
crashes.
Dropped and is seemingly crashing.
But you're taxed. Oh, I see. So the moment in which you get that value.
That value.
That's what you're taxed at.
Correct.
And so if you lose 25% in a Bitcoin over a month, which is not all that unheard of, you are still paying tax on the higher amount.
Exactly. And you don't have money to pay their taxes.
You're breaking my brain, Jenna. This is great. The one question I wanted to ask, and then we'll take a break. And then if you don't mind sticking around a little longer.
Okay.
It's
fun.
As we've been talking about cryptocurrency and divorce, I've kind of pictured, a husband or a wife. They have cryptocurrency. They've been investing in it. Maybe they kept it secret from their husband or wife, not for nefarious purposes, but hey, they're into it. Maybe the other person isn't. But I guess, and I wonder if you've seen this, since it is a little bit more secretive, have you noticed that as people ramp up knowing a divorce might be coming, purposely putting that money there as a nefarious, hopefully to dodge it in the future?
I have absolutely seen that. And I've seen it. It's very tempting, Sin is seductive, right? And so it's very tempting to say, hey, I really worked hard. I was the bigger breadwinner, or I was the homemaker and, I never had the life I wanted. So I'm not going to be sexist here. I think everyone's tempted to think about maybe ways to hide something. We have an expression that everybody in a case has a little. We call it pushki, which is the Jewish word for a little bit of money under the rug. But we generally feel in most cases, if it's $10,000 or $15,000, so be it.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about cryptocurrency, it might have been $10,000 to start, and it might be $1 million now,
right.
Depending on what they did.
What they did, right.
So,
and which coin they bought and
exactly,
when they bought it.
And how lucky or smart or whatever combination that is.
What a crazy world.
It is.
We got to take a quick commercial break. More with Gemma Allen from Allen & Glassman Chartered, allenglassman.com, or 312-853-3000 is the phone number, right?
Thank you.
Quick break, and we'll be back with more on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Just a few minutes left here on Let's Get Legal. And Gemma, I know we've only known each other here for about 45 minutes or so, but I can never imagine a single carpet of yours ever not being perfectly clean. You just strike
so me. Kind.
You probably have this gorgeous, clean place that when you walk in every day.
Well,
you just have that style to you.
I'm not there a lot, so it's easy to keep it clean.
Yeah, there
I'm
we
working.
Go. We only have a few minutes left. So we've been talking broadly about divorce and money and that whole world, and then we've entered this cryptocurrency world too. Who should be reaching out to you? Our listeners come from all sorts of different backgrounds, and many of them are unfortunately going through a divorce right now, or maybe fortunately, depending on how you look at it. Who should be reaching out to you?
So I think anyone that wants to get a sense of what divorce is really like, we always talk to people who call us on a consultant basis, and we do a first consultation at no charge because, as you may be able to tell, I and my partner are passionate about the topic.
I was going to, you know it in and out.
And I do know it in and out, and I also emotionally know it in and out as well because I actually at some point was divorced. So I bring a lot of wisdom, whether I wanted it or not, to the topic. And when you have been there and when you've seen so many cases, I think people need to be able to call someone that they know will talk to them as if they were on the other end of the phone. I talk to people the way I'd want to hear. What are the basics? What can I expect? How much is it going to cost? Although that's a very hard question to
yeah,
answer.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very difficult. But I think you need to call somebody and talk to someone. You're going to have a short, intense relationship with your divorce lawyer, but intense. So you better like them, get along with them, trust them with to always be strategizing in your best interests. And trust them when they tell you, listen, we've looked under every rock. This is how much money there is. Now let's start to divide it. And that's a trust, too, because we'd all like to think there's more money somewhere. We all hope there's more money somewhere. But sometimes when the work has been done, now what's the best strategy and what's the best division of those assets? And by the way, what about my children? And we care so much about the children of divorce. That's a really whole other topic, but more important in many, many ways.
Yeah, for sure. It is more important than the money. At the end of the day, we want our kids to be safe, happy, healthy, and move on. And divorces during the world of COVID-19. COVID-19 have upended a lot of that situations too. So it's complicated.
It is.
This is a really weird question to ask you. I know a lot of people have been trying to go through mediation. Maybe they're in good shape. They're friends, right? They're not trying to wrong the other one. Or maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe it's really nasty. Either person can call you, right? Either situation.
Oh, we do. We actually go from the most complex to the most average.
Okay.
And we run from the most amicable to the war of the world.
Right.
We do. We really run the gamut. We like them all for different reasons.
Yeah.
And there's a function of lawyer-assisted mediation where people can stay friends, but they actually need legal advice, because the problem with just going to a mediator by yourself is you don't even know terrain is, right? So we are big advocates of lawyer-assisted mediation and do that. We believe in doing each case as the battlefield seems to be presenting itself,
mm-hmm.
or the peace table.
So whether it's roses or mud. You're
We're
fine.
There.
Yeah.
We're there. And we like them for different reasons. I mean, they present different challenges.
Yeah.
But we get a lot of nice notes a year later from people.
Good.
And pictures of the cards showing their new life.
Yeah.
And that is really, that's what keeps us in this business.
I was going to say, and that's the thing. That's probably what drives you. You're creating a new opportunity for someone. Maybe hard, maybe difficult, probably is. But there they had a new opportunity. The reason I asked that question is because you're obviously so knowledgeable about this stuff that it almost, I wondered if a listener thought, well, you know, I don't need, we're okay. We're in better situation than that. I don't need Gemma. No, everyone needs a Gemma. Everyone needs a lawyer to be looking at that stuff, whether it's amicable or not. We're out of time today. Gemma, I hope you come back again. This
Thank
has been
you.
Fascinating. And you're great friends with Terry Savage too, who I love and adore.
She actually sent a shout out when she heard this. She sent me a sort of a little clip about a joke about women divorce lawyers. And then I said, it's funny you'd send it because I'm just going to see what Gemma Hansen.
Girl, she's so great. Gemma, thank you so much. And remind people again where they can reach you at.
So our offices are 150 North Michigan. The phone is 312-853-3000. The website is www.allenglassman.com. And my phone again, 312-853-3000.
That's what you do in radio. You read it twice. Nice job there, Jim. Great to chat with you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll wrap things up after this here on 720.